And go to the bathroom before you get dressed, because that can always be a challenge. All right. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I apologize if I repeat myself tonight, or some of my points I think might run together a little bit on some different things, but I'm going to start off in this verse here. Oh, wait, I got to get to my point. Here they are. So a little back note on this verse here. Every time I read this or hear about it, I think of my grandpa. Years ago, I was this high, and we were hunting, and I didn't. I was supposed to meet him at another tree stand at some point in time, and I'm like, we ain't seen no deer. I'm gonna go back to the house and ride a bike. And I was riding a bike around. A couple hours later, you might remember this story. A couple hours later, he shows up and he's mad. Where were you? Well, I went back to the house. Then he goes, get your Bible, and he had me sit down and he read this, Ecclesiastes 3. So then he proceeded to tell me, he lectured me about time, and I'm supposed to meet at a certain time. You're supposed to be there, and so that's my remembrance of this chapter. All right, so we're going to start with verse number 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. If I can learn that in my marriage, boy, that would make things a lot better, huh? A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. All right, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time here. I pray that you just give me the right words to say. Set my cares of this life aside, Lord, and just help me to say what you have for us. And just thank you for the time that I have here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have a passage about time. And I've been struggling, not really struggling, but every now and then you get thinking about, as time goes on, and you kind of get stuck in a rut, so to speak, you know, and time is now, time is present, time is past. So time is just, time just keeps marching on. And every now and then I sit back and I think, you know, what is God's will for my life? And I'm going to title this, What is God's Will for My Life? And, you know, as we get in a rut of where I get up, go to work, come home, do the chores, do whatever, go to bed, get up, go to work, go to church. You know, sometimes we look at it as just a mundane thing to do. We're doing it because sometimes we feel that's just what we do. And then you sit back and you start to wonder, well, am I in God's will? And so that's kind of where my thought process has gone, is what is God's will for my life, and how can I know just with what I'm doing now if I'm in God's will or not? And, you know, there's a lot of young families in here that, you know, let's say second generation Christians, and I've struggled with this before. And it wasn't until a year or two ago when we were on a campaign in Estonia where I heard a sermon similar to this, And it made me realize that what I'm doing, I feel I am in God's will. But every now and then I have to sit back and think, am I still in God's will? And as second generation Christians, you know, you start out as you're doing this because this is your parents' faith. And it comes a point where you have to make it your own. You have to make the decision to make it your own faith. This is not what your parents have laid a foundation for you. They have set an example, and now it's up to me to take that, what they have taught me, and to do with it what is, you know, what I feel is right or wrong, or I guess, or so to speak. But so, you know, with that, you just got to get, time goes on. I feel like I'm losing my place here. But so what I was going to say is, I personally don't feel like I was called to a mission field. You'll see, like, a missionaries will come through, and you'll be like, well, they must be in God's will. And you're like, and you're sitting back there, and you're like, am I really in God's will? I don't feel called to the mission field. I'm here in this church. I'm going to a 9-to-5 job. I go street preaching here and there. Go pass out tracts. But then you have to sit back and think and realize, not everybody can be on the mission field. If everybody was on the mission field, who'd support them? You know, and it's like simple things like that. You have to just kind of remind yourself, like, okay, God has me here for a reason. And so with that, you kind of have to be comforted and say, okay, I'm doing all I can do to the best of my ability. I must be in God's will to some to some degree. So so that's kind of where, to set this up, that's kind of what I've been, you know, where I've thought, my thought process has kind of gone through this, how maybe we can look at a few different examples here and just to try to learn some things. But God wants us to know His will, but sometimes He makes us wait so we earnestly seek Him and draw closer to Him and grow. You know, it's just, you have to, you know, it's just like a child. You don't give a brand new baby a car and say, run down to the store and get me some oranges. You know, they have to grow up, they have to learn some things, and that all takes time. And that's kind of what us as second generation Christians, so to speak, and maybe some third, but it takes time. Yeah, we get zealous, we see things are, some people, things are moving faster for them than others, but we're all at different steps. And just like our children, both my children are at different steps in their life, because obviously they're two different ages. They can't both be at the same spot. Now, the younger one can be farther ahead than the older one, and vice versa, but that doesn't mean that that don't really mean anything. But life can have trials and difficulties, but through it all, God is still good. He is there and He provides. So the first point that I thought was probably one of the most important points for God's will for our life is to be saved. Because without being saved, then that kind of is irrelevant, anything else that we do from here on out. If we turn over to John 6, John 6, verse 38, Verse 36 says, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there is an example of that we need to be saved. And the Lord came here under the will of his Father, and that should be our will. Our will should be, number one, is to be saved. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Transformed, being saved by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I know there's 3 points right there, but I'm not going to talk on those. So first point, we need to be saved. Second point, that was easy. All right, so the second point, so where I'm going to go with this is, if God's will for my life, or for our life, is, which I feel is being should be being faithful. And that's kind of where you just get in that everyday aspect of just living. And it's important for us to, through all that, it is important for us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, we turn over to 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us, of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now we've all been saved. We are ministers of Christ. We're going to go out and we're going to try to minister to the lost. It is required of us to be found faithful. Being faithful to serving the Lord. And like I said before, we get in a rut. We get in just a daily life of trying to serve, trying to do what's right. And you just often wonder, am I really, you don't feel God's like, you know, shining a big light on you and just, you know, giving you all this stuff. And it's just like, am I really in God's will? But you are in God's will if you're continuing to be faithful. Take Noah for an example. God told Noah he would send a flood, right? But Noah had to prepare for years before the flood came. God's going to tell us something. He's going to want us to go a certain direction. He's told us by our parents of how we should live, right? And it's going to take time for us to not only see their example, but also to understand it, to make it our own, before we get to see what is actually going to happen. And Noah had to build that boat. Yeah, it took a long time to build the boat, but still, through it all, he still had to prepare. He had to prepare something physical, and he probably had to prepare himself spiritually and mentally to handle it. So there's different, you know, that's why it takes time. You know, it could have been real easy for Noah to lose focus. And just, you can think back of any time in your life where you've focused on something and you've seen good come out of it, and then if you look back at that situation and you say, had I lost focus, what it could have came out of that situation. Let's look at Numbers 14. Let's look at the children of Israel. I was thinking about this, and this kind of struck me a little bit about, couple weeks ago, and I appreciate I used the children of Israel as an example as well. Numbers 14. So here we have the children of Israel, and they're about to go into the promised land. And so what I'm going to say about this is you have a group of people that lost focus. And verse 1 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought unto us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." They lost focus of the promised land, of where God was going to bring them, and they whether they forgot or they just didn't care anymore, but they were so hung up on, in verse, the Lord told them, "Send thou men." And the Lord spake unto Moses in chapter 13, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, and every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man." So the Lord specifically said, I'm going to give you this land. And in chapter 13, verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers." So here they got hung up on these giants. They forgot about what the Lord did with Pharaoh. They forgot about the Lord sending manna. They forgot about him sending the quail. And they were stuck on this one thing. And so there is an example of somebody, how easy it is to lose focus. Just because we see God working in small portions, and He's promising something to us, but we can't see it. And here these people saw the land, and they still chose to get hung up on the giants. And in our lives as parents, we need to keep focus on the promise. The Lord's coming back to get us. There's a lot more things that can happen in our lives. We need to keep focused on that. And because the Israelites lost focus, God was done with them. If you keep reading through the chapter, the Lord is. I read through there, but I didn't write it down. But if you keep reading through there, the Lord's like, "I'm done with these people." And it affected, because they decided they didn't want to go into the promised land, they affected the next and possibly the third generation of their generation. And because it says 20 years and up will not go into the promised land. So if they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, say those people that came out of Egypt were 20 years old, they're now 60, they have children, and then their children have children that are probably maybe not quite 20 yet. So there is a possibility of maybe possibly three generations. And by us not staying focused on what God has for us in our lives, we are going, not may we affect, but we are going to affect our our children and possibly their children. And it's important for us to keep focused on what's right, to keep focused on God's will for our lives. God's will for our life is to remain faithful. There's so much that can be done just by being faithful. And the Lord's coming back. It's more evident now than it ever has been. And He's given us all special things, special characteristics, special features that we have an ability to do something special that somebody else doesn't have. And we need to capitalize on our talents, the abilities God has given us, and capitalize on those to set an example for our children, to try to win the lost, and to be an example and a good testimony for Him. You know, think of it this. Here's an illustration. We got some professional drivers in here. Now, when I say professional, I don't mean just driving to work every day. Some people drive for a living. And for me, I'll count myself as that. But for me, they sent us through a driving class, through his training, and then probably Brother Jeff as well and Frank, because they teach you, it's called aim high in steering. Next time you're driving down the road, think of this, aim high in steering. That means you're steering down the road and you're aiming high, so you're looking 15 to 30 seconds down the road. Well, how do you know? Pick a spot when your car crosses it and count 1,000, 2,000. And 15 seconds down the road is where your eyes should be looking. This is what they teach us. Because what does that do? That prepares us for what obstacles are going to come ahead. It's going to prepare us for the guy that's going to run the sneaking out there around the snowbank. Now with the snowbanks getting high, you have to really be careful because people are just going to whoop. They might think they're stopping, but you don't think they're going to stop. But if I'm looking right here and driving down the road on my phone, going 60 in a 70 in the left lane, I'm not going to see the semi up there that's slamming on his brakes because there's a guy on the shoulder opening his driver's door into the driving lane, you know, or vice versa. We need to look in our lives. We need to look ahead. We need to keep our eyes focused on the end, focused on what the Lord has done for us already. Be grateful for what He's done, and that kind of leads to my next point. But we need to be looking ahead so that we can prepare ourselves for any obstacles that the devil is going to throw out there to try to take us off course and to cause us to go into a wreck. What happens when you hit, you know, if you're not watching where you're going, you're going to hit something, you're going to hit somebody, or somebody's going to hit you. It may not be your fault if the ball goes out in front of your car, but had you been looking ahead towards at the end of the building, you would have seen the ball coming down the sidewalk and the kid running by it. But if you were looking here, I wouldn't have seen it till I was right there. You have to be looking ahead, and that's why it's important for us to look ahead. Don't sit in the now. The next point is God's will for our lives is to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What more can I say on that? To be thankful. But how hard is it to be thankful, really? It can be hard some days. And we need to be thankful. By being thankful, being thankful will help keep our focus on the prize, so to speak. And the prize is the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we take our eyes off of that and we start looking over here, we're not going to be ready for his coming. We're not going to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to be trailing over here, and we're going to be caught up in something over here, and our minds are taken away from it, and then all of a sudden, bam, and now you're not ready for him. And now we have to stand before him. It's going to be bad enough that we have to stand before him already, even if we are completely focused on it, we're trying to do everything right, we're not going to match up. And if my focus is over here, it's going to be a lot harder to justify. We can't justify anything with God, but it's going to be a lot harder to justify our actions, right? We need to be thankful. God's will for our life is to be thankful. Like the children of Israel, they stopped being thankful for what God had done for them. It's so easy for us just to, we just get in an everyday pattern, and it's easy for us to not be thankful. And it's sad to say that. It's sad to say that, but it's the truth. And it's something we have to strive for each and every day. I always try to set my mind straight sometimes when you kind of get griping a little bit. But when someone asks me how it's going, I always try to say it's going either good or fantastic. And they're like, "Wow, what kind of juice are you drinking?" But really, it can be, there's somebody else out there that's worse off than you are. Even if you stub your toe on the table at night, if somebody's worse than you. And I see it a lot in my daily life because I'm in people's homes all the time, and I see the living conditions that people are in, whether it's by their own choice or whether it's not. And I'm thankful for where God has me, and I'm thankful for what he's done for me in my life, but I'm not thankful enough. And I don't know how you would be thankful enough. But it's something you need to consciously be thinking of, is being thankful. Be thankful for full of where God has you serving. And I think I've said this before. God has us all in our place. We're all in our seats, and we're all there for a reason. We're not on a mission field somewhere. We're on our own mission field right here. And we need to be thankful for where God has us, and with that, doing the best that we can with the abilities God has given us. I wrote a verse down. Let me just find it real quick here. I didn't. Romans 2:21. I'll just read it anyways. Therefore, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Yeah, I don't know what it was. 2:21 I wrote down, but Romans 2:21. But I don't know, we're supposed to teach our children, right? Did I write 120? Oh, yeah, there. Yep, you're right. Sorry. Who said that? All right, yep. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And look what the children of Israel, they thought they were wise by telling God that we can't go into this land because, hey, these guys are going to kill us. Well, they're the ones that are fools because they never got to go in. And by not being thankful, it's going to lead you, just keep reading down, it's going to lead you to all this change. I got a note here in my Bible that says change is sin. It's going to lead you down a path of sinfulness. So be thankful. Be thankful for what God has you serving. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 4:10. So first of all, it's important for us to get to be saved. That's the first will of God. If we're not saved, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then the rest of this is all for naught. Secondly, it's important for us to be faithful. Be faithful to serving the Lord. That's of God's will for your life, is to be faithful. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister to the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We need to minister to each of us. We all need to minister to everybody, because God's given us great grace. And we need to try to show that to our friends. We need to try that to show that to each other. Even though we're all saved, we're of like-mindedness, we still need to show the manifold grace of God to each other. And we're not all going to get along. There's too many people in here with too many different personalities. It's never going to work. But we have one common thing in mind. We have one common thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all part of one body. Not everybody can be the head. Not everybody can be the shoulder. Not everybody can be the knee. Sometimes you got to get new knees, new hips. Somebody's got to be a stinky foot. I mean, it's just, it's a body. Think of it as a body. We're all doing something different, but it's all for the one common thing. If I didn't have big toes, I wouldn't walk as right as I should. If one leg is shorter than the other, my back's going to go out of line. So it's important that we're all working together, trying to minister to each other, and show the grace of God, and try to encourage each other that you are in the will of God. You are doing what God has for you to do. And like I said before, we get busy in our everyday life, and then we wonder, am I really in the will of God? Because I don't feel God's raining anything down on me. But I'm doing what God has me do. And I need to be comforted with that I'm doing my best to remain faithful. I'm trying to be thankful. I'm saved. And to me, that's, I'm doing what I'm in God's will. If you feel like you've stalled out, do something. There's so much to do. Well, I don't like door knocking because I'm nervous. We've heard this before. Well, do something else. Brother Bryce, if you don't know how to do it, write a letter. Get a phone book. You know what a phone book is? They still bring them around. We got one at our house a few weeks ago. It's only about that thick, though. Remember when they were as thick as this Bible down here? Go through it. My wife and I have done this. We started with letter A. And went right down the line. Wrote out you get those pre-made stickers, stick them in your printer, make out a spreadsheet, and I write neighbor, and then Cottage Grove, Minnesota. And then we just go through, and she reads me the address, I put the address in, we type it out, print them out, put them on the labels. We have a letter already written up, we just print them out, fold it up, throw some tracks in there. It might cost you $50. $100 a month if you do it, or every couple months, because you got to go buy a roll of stamps. But then you just drive them down to the mailbox and drop them in the mailbox, and off they go. I don't know if they go, I don't know where they go. If they go to that address or not, because I don't have a return address on it. But they obviously go. If they're not going to get delivered, they're going back to the post office. So maybe somebody will open it there, right? But there's things to do. There's always something to do. Do you like parades? We got parades. We do a couple parades every year. Just walk and hand out tracts. People flock to go to a parade because they're going to get something. They're expecting to get something. And you hand them a gospel tract, and off you go. And they may not read it till later. It was going on to the fair, hand out tracts at the fair. What really was neat about that, a few years ago, they were doing that. And a week or two after the fair was over, I was in a customer's home, and down in the basement, it was a mess, but down in the basement, on the floor, was a chick tract. And I pick it up, and I'm like, Blessed Old Baptist Church. I'm like, no way. But, hey, it got there. And I didn't put it there. So it's just like, it's cool to see that it traveled there. So there's something to do. Focus on the coming of Christ and what lies ahead. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. Continue to look for that. I'll give you an archery illustration because I shoot a lot of archery. As far as focusing on something, and when you're trying to shoot a bullseye, right? Every time, that's the goal. Don't let the target beat you. But you try to shoot a bullseye, and if your form is this, is your body. If your form is correct, and you're staring at the, let's call it the X, because that's what it is. You're staring at the X, and that's where you want to shoot your arrow. If your form is correct, and your eye is on the X, and your sight is not on there, as long as you're staring there and your form is correct, that's where your arrow is going to go every time. Don't ask me why, but what happens is your body naturally is going to go where you're looking. And if you make a bad shot and you reflect back on, okay, what happened? My eye was wandering down at, like, say, 5 o'clock on the target, and that's where my arrow is. Or I was not perfect in my form. I wasn't perfect in the will of God, and I wasn't looking at the promise, that blessed hope, and I strayed, and now I'm down over here. How did I get there? Because I wasn't perfect. If you're not perfect here and you're not looking where you're supposed to go, you're never going to hit it. You might occasionally hit it by accident, but accident isn't going to win it. You have to physically do it each and every time. And also we need to be setting an example for our children. And It's hard to do sometimes, and it's work, but it's important, because the kids, they see stuff and they learn really, really fast. I mean, a lot of us here have all raised kids, and how much information they can retain in a short amount of time makes your head hurt thinking about it. You only wish you could, right? But they're sponges, and we have to consciously be thinking about the kids. We have to be thinking about the next generation. What decisions in my life am I making that are going to affect my children and possibly their children? Am I not looking at that blessed hope, and I'm looking over here, and I'm telling my kids to look there, but they're not seeing me looking there. And I'm expecting them to? Hold on a minute. Who am I fooling? Fooling myself. And then I can't get mad at my kids for not doing what I want them to do when I'm not doing what I'm doing. And it's important for me it's important for us as parents of young children to do that. I'll tell you right now, my parents aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. But the faithfulness of my parents have kept, where they have, their focus has always been on that blessed hope. And it's important for us to continue that on. And I think I can speak for a lot of us in here that have had parents that have stayed faithful. God has reasons for making us wait. Like I said before, patience. Time. It just takes time. Back to our text, it just takes time. There's a time for certain things to happen. And we can't control time. Time is us. If we could tell the clock to not move ahead on Saturday, we would, right? But we can't. It just goes on. Takes time to grow. Takes time to mature. And there's lessons that we have to learn that only will help us get better. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." And those are three things that I kind of came up with that for that gives me comfort when I starting to wonder if I'm really in the will of God, if this is really what God wants me to do in my life or wants me to do. Then I just sit back and I think, okay, He wants me to be faithful. I need to be faithful. And it's work. It's not just like Noah, it's going to take time to prepare. I suppose there was days where Noah was like, really? I'm building this boat again. He only got one board laid in the last 2 weeks. And it's just like, you feel like it's just never accomplishing anything. And then 60 years goes by, and you look back and you go like, wow, look at how big that thing is. And I did all that? That's why it's important for us to continue to be faithful. It's important. So those are the three quick things about us. I hope it was a help to you. I apologize if I kind of rambled a little bit, but it was kind of tough for me to get some of my thoughts on the paper and trying to sort it all out. I'm still new at this, so excuse me for that. But I never imagined I'd be standing here doing this. This was the last thing I ever thought that I'd be doing. And a while ago, I'd asked God, what else can I do? And, you know, I went on a couple missions trips or a couple courier trips, and then all of a sudden, Pastor asked if I'd be interested in being a deacon, and I was scared because I knew that this is part of the deal. I think it's God just taking little steps of just trying to, not only is He trying to reward you with something, but He's also trying to mold you for something else. And I guess we have to just constantly be our head to the grindstone, our nose to the grindstone, constantly looking forward where He wants us to go, and don't look left, don't look right. Be prepared for the obstacles that are going to come out ahead of you. And like I said, think of it when you're driving home tonight. Just look down the road and pick that farthest stop sign you can see down there and count it out. And if you're always looking at the end of your hood, you're never going to see anything until it's way too late. And if you're pulling a trailer and you look behind you and the road's all wet, you're going to see your line going like this because you're going to waver. You're always going to be wavering back and forth. You're never going to be going in a straight line. So, and remember, seek the Lord in His strength and seek His face continually. All right, let's pray.